Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the fall classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, men who are gentle. What'd we think of the uniforms last night, Bob? Let's get to the important stuff. My wife said they look like PennDOT workers, and then I said, well, they wore them in 1933, and she said, no wonder they were bad for so long. She was not a fan. I'm no fashion maven. She said the pants didn't match the shirt, and the shirts were horrendous. That seemed to be the consensus. What did you think, Bob? What did your wife think?
She thought they were fine.
She did?
She likes, yeah. Again, you have to understand, this is 1933. They're thrown back to a season, which was their first. Unfortunately, they brought the three wins with them that season. That's all they had. So I'm not bothered by that stuff at all. I don't care. I like the all-whites from Green Bay. I thought the Steelers were great. I thought the Steelers would do themselves good on the color rush uniform weekend,
yeah.
Whatever that is.
Yeah.
Do the all-whites with a black helmet.
Bob, they were hideous. The uniforms were hideous.
I don't even look at it that way. They're trying to throw back to a time, and that was the uniform they chose back then.
I agree with you, actually. I'm wrong, you're right.
I think a lot of people spend too much time on that stuff. I find myself in the same boat sometimes when I see something I really like Denver had their throwbacks.
Oh, the orange crush
jerseys. Yeah, the orange crush jerseys. Yeah, I love those. But again, that's going back to a time that was the uniform back in that time. So.
Mr. P, what'd you think?
Well, your local fashionista here didn't really notice that they didn't match. But I think that they should always have the block numbers as the throwback jerseys regardless. I thought they were okay, but when I saw them on TV for the first time, I was like, whoa, they're a lot worse than I initially thought. What I was really thrown off by was the numbers on the front were white and the numbers on the back were black.
I mean, it was horrifying.
It really was strange.
I agree with Bob.
That was the uniform. If you're trying to go back and...
Yeah, I agree with you to a certain extent. They were recapturing 1933. I was there. and that's what they did.
Right.
But maybe back in 1933, people thought they were hideous, too. They were horrifying.
Oh, no, you know how style goes. Yeah. Like, you look back at a picture. Look back at a high school picture of Joe Starkey. You'd probably say, oh, my goodness, how did I look that? I have the same thing. I look back and... I sometimes I'm stunned with how I dressed, how I looked.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Things evolve.
Ron looked good in high school. Have you ever seen pictures of him in high school at Blackhawk?
I have.
And he was born with a beard. Did you know that?
He came out that way, yes.
Yeah.
And it's never gone away.
You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+. Watch your local NFL game all season long, kicking off with the juicy Week 9 matchup between the Indianapolis Colts and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. All right. On the post game on PXI last night, Doug Whaley, who sits right in that chair on Wednesdays and is very good, by the way, just unloaded on Mike Tomlin. Now, this is via Steelers Depot, this transcription. We couldn't find the audio of this, but we have the transcription. It appears in a story headlined, Doug Whaley blasts Mike Tomlin, questions players' buy-in. You ready for this line? And I quote Whaley here, talking to Jenna Harner. Teams take the characteristics of their head coaches, and if you listen to Tomlin, says Whaley, he's a great orator. He's got great one-liners. When you look at this team on paper, you have a Hall of Famer at quarterback, you have two Hall of Famers on the defensive line, a possible Hall of Famer in Ramsey. You've got some young talent, but guess what they don't have? Substance, just like Mike Tomlin's press conferences. Wow, Doug Whaley. Then he says, when you start thinking about it that way and you start hearing buy-in, my question is, says Whaley, are those guys in the locker room buying into what the coaching staff is putting out there and trying to have them pick up? And he finishes by saying this about the trends. They're talking about the same issues over and over, Whaley said. It's that clip from Brian Kelly who just got fired. We're up here talking about the same things over and over. After a while, there's a saying, you're either coaching it or allowing it, and they have to be doing both because nothing has changed. Doug Whaley with a hammer. How about the Brian Kelly reference limits?
Completely dropped the hammer. Wow.
Yeah.
We're sitting here again talking about the same things.
Bob, what do you make of these comments?
Well, a lot of people have that opinion, I think, if you look at it. But I think Mike Tomlin is very good at what he does in terms of handling press conferences. Yes, he comes up. When you're at a place this long, 19 years, there's nothing new that you can offer that's going to make people think differently about it. So he's doing what he does at press conferences. The bigger issue is, what are you doing in preparation for games? Not only was the defense bad as this game went along, but also the offense now. How many games in a row has it been where they haven't scored more than 7 points in the first quarter? That, to me, you always hear people talking about how teams come out if they're ready to play. It's gotten a little bit better with Aaron Rodgers, but generally same kind of stuff. They just don't score enough early in games to have one of those games you'd love to have once in a while.
Does Whaley make a point? Are we all wondering whether these guys are buying what Tomlin is selling? I certainly am.
Well, based on some of these performances, you'd have to say yes. But, you know, we'll see in the next several weeks. Again, to me, this is always
haven't
a week
we seen
to week.
For the last several years,
yes,
though, Bob?
But, I mean, but we've also seen some good performances throughout the course of the year that make you change your mind. When I say it's a week to week, that's what it is. I really thought, and I think most people who analyzed this game going into it, although Andrew Filipponi was the one who said no, and I agreed with him, the roster Packers have is a better roster top to bottom. But I really
What did he say no to?
Well, the general thinking that Pittsburgh was going to win last night because it's Sunday night and they play well, they had extra time to prepare. All those numbers indicated that that could be the case. But then the roster itself is not the same. Green Bay has a better roster, and they have an offensive-minded coach, which has been their problem, stopping those offensive-minded coaches. So when you thought about it, you thought, okay, Green Bay should win. They were favored. But I think all of us who followed it, you know, you have to make a pick. I was not going to be surprised if they somehow won that game. Just as they did when they went to Dublin, you know, and last year there were a few of those games as well where you don't expect them to win and they win. So then you change your narrative, at least for 7 days. And then it comes back with another performance like what we saw yesterday.
But there's a long-standing narrative now.
Yeah, there is.
As Kyle Brandt said, they're the most predictable team in the NFL. Well, they're going to go 9-8, and they're going to lose in the playoffs.
And when you hear guys like Ja'Marr Chase saying that he knew what was coming, that's not a good sign. And it speaks to coaching and scheming.
Man, so, I can't believe that Whaley let all that fly. That is unbelievable limits. He talked about a team that lacks substance, basically like their coach. I mean, I can't read that any other way than him saying that. They lack substance. That his coaching lacks substance and that they are a reflection of that. He's basically saying there he talks a good game, but his players aren't following his lead anymore. That's essentially what Doug Whaley said.
You said at the beginning you were going to put some of the blame on players because I still think that's, you know, when you have this many good players, sooner or later somebody's going to make a play. I don't think.
Sure, but the players change. The players change year to year.
No, I'm talking
franchise,
about this one.
I know, but the players change year to year, and this franchise hasn't come close to winning a playoff game in nearly a decade, and it's the same things. I'm not going to do the Brian Kelly thing again.
No, but it's
but
true.
It truly is the same things
the same
over
things
and over
with
again.
Starts of games where, again, the playoff ones are dramatic. They've been outscored 73-0 in the first quarter. Again, look at the last, I think it's 54 regular season games. They don't score
57.
More than 7 points in the first quarter of a
right.
game.
That's an NFL record.
Yeah, you can't have more from the beginning. To me, that's also an indication that the preparation is not there, or at least the message and the preparation aren't being sold.
The crazy thing, Bob, is if you could, except for finishing drives, if you could draw up the game beforehand last night, like how you wanted it to go, the first half was it. They ran the ball. They shut down the run. They ended the half with, I thought, a brilliant drive, and they're up 16-7. They could have been up by far more. But then
halftime adjustments set in, and you got a guy on the other side who's really good at trying to figure out ways to unleash his offense, and he did.
And I thought, who was I watching this morning who really was on that? It was Manti Te'o on NFL Network saying the halftime adjustment was, whereas in the first half, he thought Love was trying to outdo Rodgers and was taking shots down the field that weren't there. He felt like LaFleur must have told Love at halftime, get rid of the ball, go short, and let your guys make plays. And that's what, you look at those 21 passes in a row or whatever it was, most of those were bang, 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 guys missing tackles, just taking the easy stuff and having it turn into better, you know?
Yeah, and the way the Steelers were missing tackles, you had to think that was going to happen. Second half was totally different, and they did change the way they – and then eventually, because they did enough of it, Steelers had to come up and respect that, and then they go down the field even more. And it's always dangerous to me. Anytime you have a tight end, you go back to Hunter Henry, you go back to Mark Andrews, you name any tight end, the Steelers historically have not stopped tight ends. Who matches up against tight ends? Who do they have? I thought Peyton Wilson was going to be one of those guys who can just – with the speed and his ability to get to a spot, can cover a guy like that. Do they have any safeties who can do it? I don't think so. So again, you know, you have one of the better tight ends coming into the game again this week, right? You got Warren.
Well, don't worry.
He's going to be targeted. I don't know what the over and under on his targets is. I guarantee you, whatever it is, I'll go over.
Patrick Queen said their problems against tight ends are going to be fixed up in a hurry. So don't worry, Bob.
Yeah, well, I am worried.
That won't be a problem.
Because that never goes away.
Whaley also cited a lack of discipline as a troubling defensive theme, and man, it sure is. I don't know what the hell they're doing. I really don't. How do you allow that guy just to walk off the line wide open?
You know, coaches. Fourth and one, you mean?
The whole game. Coaches want us
but
to believe.
Fourth and one was just. Yeah, again, if you're going to make that call, you better make sure he's accounted for, and he totally was
inexcusable.
Free.
Coaches want us to believe it's a very complicated game. Sometimes it's simple. Sometimes it's backyard football. Let's put that guy on that guy and maybe two guys on him because he's their best talent. He's their most talented player. And if we're going to lose, let's not let him beat us. Well, 2 weeks in a row, not only have they let one guy largely beat them, but they didn't even make an effort to stop him. Like there was no adjustment once they started getting cooked by Ja'Marr Chase. And in this case, Tucker Kraft. In fact, it got worse as the game went along. I mean, it was incredible to watch. It's like everybody, I picture tens of thousands of people screaming, what are you doing? Why isn't anybody covering him? It's incredible to watch, Bob. Well, and it speaks to a lack of discipline. And by the way,
lack of communication, lack of preparation for these kinds of situations. They talk about situational football all the time. Well, these are situations that should be paramount importance to them, you know, especially on fourth down short. You got to have everyone accounted for. They didn't on that play, and they certainly let it. Those guys are wide open. You look. So this morning, going back and look at some of the tape.
Yeah.
On replay, and we'll get a look at it later on the All 22 tape, which really shows you a lot. But you could see guys, and he missed one guy who was Jordan Love missed. I forget who it was who was wide open. He could have had an easy touchdown late in the game, and he didn't hit him. But there were guys again too open. You have to stop them at the line of scrimmage if you're going to play the short game. Disrupt them. Who was it? He was wide open. Jordan Love missed him. He could have had an even bigger.
Oh, late night. In the game for a touchdown. That was Golden at the goal line.
The rookie.
He would have had five touchdowns.
He was
total miscommunication.
Open.
Total
you
miscommunication.
Can't do that, so.
I thought based on Tomlin's comments in the preseason, they were going to get right up in your face at the line and play old school Mel Blunt man on man. Do we have that quote? No disrespect to the Cincinnati Bengals, but we're going to line up and cover people man-to-man. This was Tomlin on Ryan Clark's podcast when Clark suggested that Joey Porter was a number one corner, Slay's still a guy who can cover people, Ramsey's a number one. Like this was going to be epic. This was Mike Tomlin back then.
With that collection of guys that you mentioned, I feel like we could do it against anybody. No disrespect to Cincinnati or anybody else that has an elite group. But that's just the level of confidence that we have in that collective.
The level of delusion there and misevaluation of people like Darius Slay is almost breathtaking. And who in the world and who in their right mind, including Ryan Clark, considers Joey Porter Jr. to be a number one cornerback in the NFL. You have to be out of your mind to believe that. Could he still become that? Maybe. It's been a while now. But anyone who believes that now, you're seriously deluded.
And they have a decision to make on him, because this coming season, they have to decide if they're going to pay him or not. As of this moment, the answer should be no on that. They haven't seen enough of it. He made another grab last night. He got called for a defensive holding. And all those guys, you know, I questioned Slay at $10 million when they signed him to a one-year deal. Not that he didn't have the resume to command something, but $10 million seemed like an awful stretch given the fact that he's 33 or 34. And he looks
missing tackles left and right.
He missed,
you know,
a lot of tackles. They all did.
And the other guys they brought in, missing tackles left and right. And like I said earlier, he's tried to go soft in coverage with a four-man rush. And yesterday he told Tony Dungy, I'm gonna turn him loose tonight, and he did. And all that did was allow Jordan Love to absolutely pick them apart in man-to-man. You had guys on an island, and sometimes there was no island, Bob. There was just a body of water.
Yeah.
A body of water you can sail free.
They were treading water the whole night trying to stay afloat, and it just didn't work.
Limits, let's head back to the phones, if you might.
I would love that, Joe. Let's go to our guy Emmanuel in Carnegie to chime in.
Hello, Emmanuel.
Hey, man.
This is Emmanuel Sanders. Are you still in shape? Can you come in?
The funny thing is my name ends with a Z instead of an S. That's how close we get. But I remember, Joe, you made a topic 2 weeks ago. Do we owe the Steelers apologies? I'll be the first to apologize. I apologize because I thought our defense would be a top 10 defense. And with our offense, the way it is constructed, I thought we'll be 11-6. I'm going to be the first one to throw the towel in. I'm not going to any more games. I mean, we can add pieces on offense, but I also don't think the Bengals or Cowboys are making the playoffs. We got to be at least a top 10 defense. They're getting paid as a top 2 defense.
They're getting paid as a top 1 defense. No one else is close to them in terms of resources allocated to their defense.
So I do apologize. The season is over. Even if we make the playoffs, like, we're missing one piece, and that piece is a time clock. The players are too old. T.J. Watt has lost a step. And, like, we don't have the mojo on the defensive end. Nobody's intimidated. They're throwing passes. It looks like backyard football. The running game, you know what I mean, like, there's no intimidation. And the fact that I was at the game yesterday, 45% of the crowd was rooting for Green Bay. It was just embarrassing. And when they play a running game, it's not intimidating no more. Like, this defense is
Tell me more about that, Emmanuel. Tell me more about, because we were going to talk about that next anyway. Adam Crowley had a great rant today about the atmosphere inside of Acrisure Stadium. You figure 45% Packer fans, and they took over the stadium?
Like, yeah. It felt like that. And then into the fourth quarter, they had so much momentum. It felt like we were kind of pressing offensively. Then we were trying to take shots down the field instead of continuing to do what we were doing in the first half. It felt like we panicked offensively. We were down by only 2 points. And that two-point conversion that they ran, the Packers, nobody's going to talk about it. But the receivers
wide
were wide open.
Bob said nobody was on him at all.
Yeah. And we would have gave up. Made a stop there, which we had, 10 days to prepare. Maybe it was only a one-point game. Even if they score, it's an eight-point ball game. We have a chance to tie it at the end. That play alone. And then, you know, it just felt like we didn't have a plan, and we panicked again. Like, it's bad. I'm sorry. I apologize for, you know, picking us to go 11-6. I kind of picked with my heart, but also I thought this defense is going to be at least top 10. I'm not even asking us to be a top 5 defense. Top 10 would have gotten us into the playoffs and probably a playoff win.
They're not even top 29. I appreciate the call, Emmanuel. Bob,
they're dead last.
What did you sense about what were people?
Dead last.
Yeah, well, they're dead last in pass defense, right?
Yes.
And 30th in overall defense. What were people saying about the vibe inside of Acrisure last?
Well,
night?
You know, first of all, Packer fans are like Steeler fans, and they travel. And we saw this a few years ago when San Francisco came into this place, and it was Brock Purdy who was ripping apart their defense, and you heard those guys very loudly. The one thing you should do is take them out of the game and score points early and make them silent, but that wasn't the case, and it wasn't last night either. First half, not so much, because they only had 7 points. But when things started to crank, I mean, the difference was very loud. And, you know, a lot of people were saying, how does this happen? Well, I tell you, it's simply supply and demand, I think. You have people who have season tickets, and they've had them for many decades. And, you know, many of them probably spent all their money on football, and that's their passion. That's what they're going to do. Now you have people offering $10,000 for four tickets. A lot of people offering crazy money. And in this day and age, some people need that money, and they're going to make that call.
Do the people who already have Steelers season tickets need that money?
Well, I think some of them are just passionate fans, and they spend a lot of their money on football, yes.
But if the Steelers were putting out a really, really compelling product, I don't think you'd see situations like
maybe
last
not,
night.
But you still see some who would go for the money. You know, I'm just
sure.
saying. I saw some people down in the Strip District over the weekend. They were offering $2,000 a seat to get in. They wanted to pay that money. I'm just saying, if you're one of these guys.
I still think, and we'll get Crowley next, I think that was an embarrassing night for the Steelers franchise.
Especially as they got louder.
When your home quarterback is on a silent count in Pittsburgh.
Well, that's, you know, I don't know if that happened in the San Francisco game, but it certainly happened last night, according to Aaron Rodgers. So he was the guy who had to deal with that. You don't expect to hear that for sure. But I'm offering a reason why people would do it.
For
you,
sure.
You disagree with that?
People go for the money, but if the Steelers were really good and really hot in this town right now, then you wouldn't see what you saw last night.
I agree.
This isn't a game-to-game thing. This is now almost a decade worth of disappointment, quite frankly.
Yes.
Almost a decade's worth. And the chickens are starting to come home to roost now as far as people not really thinking to themselves, would I rather take the money? Or go out on a Sunday night and watch this team when I'm taking a chance on seeing what I've seen for the better part of a decade now,
right.
Which is I don't know what I'm going to get, and I might get something not good, and we all know where it's going to end anyway. I don't think this happens 10 years ago, do you?
No, but I think also because of a lot of things, inflation, how much it costs to do everything, people are motivated to do that if they have a chance. I agree with you, though. If this team was 7-1 like the Colts and they were to talk of the NFL and they're destroying opponents like they are, they're plus 166 in the point differential. That's the Indy Colts. They're just ripping it up, setting records. I think then you're less motivated to sell those tickets.
Either you're a really hot ticket or you're not, and they're not really right now.
Right. And so there, I just think it's human nature. Some people, if you're offered that kind of money, you probably say, okay, for one game, I'll take it.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the fall classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
One image I can't get out of my mind from last night, gentlemen, is the clips they showed of Jaylen Warren training by running with a soccer net attached to his back, Bob.
Yeah. I don't think
I could, if I tried to run with an entire soccer goal attached to me, I would go backwards, not forwards.
Yeah, it would drag me back too. I just think these guys come up with creative ways to keep their bodies in shape. And, you know, for a guy like him who is undrafted, earned his money the hard way after proving it and proving it, he's not going to let that just go away. He's going to have the same work ethic that got him to where he is, and so they come up with these things.
Limits, is that how you train for wiffle ball, by having a soccer net attached to you?
You know, thinking about when I have to move the soccer nets for my turkey bowl and how hard it is for me to move that. Those soccer nets are heavy, guys.
Bob, if I had to move a soccer net, I would ask like 10 people to help me, not strap it to my back and sprint.
Very stunning to see it as well. When I first saw it, I thought it was somehow enhanced.
I thought it was fake. It looked like AI.
Right. But no, that's how he does it.
Wow. All right. Lots of people commenting. And feel free, by the way, oh limitless wonder, to chime in with any good texts we get, because I know we're getting a lot. And some about the atmosphere last night. And, you know, for good reason, Steeler Nation takes pride in invading other stadiums. It's one of the most unbelievable spectacles I've ever seen in sports. Is no matter where the Steelers go, their fans invade the stadium. We've seen so many times quarterbacks in on their home fields having to go to silent counts because of Steeler fans. Well, it happened to them last night. And it's kind of horrifying and kind of sad. And I really do think Bob mentioned speaks to modern times and how easily you can get rid of tickets for big money. And Packers fans do travel well. But we were never talking about stuff like this with the Steelers at home. Now we are, and I think it speaks to what we've been witnessing more or less, some great moments for sure, but mostly seasons that everybody knows won't wind up with anything close to a championship for going on a decade. The Steelers are in their longest playoff win drought in 60-plus years. Just think about that for a second. And Art seems to be, based on his actions every offseason, kind of okay as long as they're, I don't know, what's the old saying, limits? As long as they're outperforming the mean?
Yeah, the mean, yes, the mean, very
important. They are again this year, I guess. They're outperforming the mean at 4-3. But I thought Crowley spoke very eloquently to the scene last night, Bob. Let's take a listen to Adam Crowley from The Morning Show.
Happy birthday, Crowley.
Happy birthday.
The Steelers are 4-2, first place in the AFC North. You've got a primetime game that was discussed ad nauseum on every single NFL show, every single sports show across the nation this week. Haven't seen the ratings yet. Probably one of the most watched Sunday night football games in recent memory.
It was.
Two historic franchises. A chance to see history in Aaron Rodgers if they had won, beat every team in the NFL, which had only been done by four other quarterbacks. And now won't be done by Rodgers. And yet there were 40% Packers fans there. And I'm talking to people who were at the game last night saying Steelers fans are sitting on their hands. You heard it after the Dublin game. A couple of players in the locker room said it was actually better than a home field advantage because the fans were invested in into it the entire time. That's because the people who went wanted to be there, spent their good hard-earned money to be there. It ain't cheap going to Dublin. And I realize people are spending their money and going to Acrisure Stadium. But these night games, instead of getting jacked up, you sell your tickets. And the ones that were there got drowned out by Packers fans. Even when the Steelers had a lead early, it was bleeding through on TV in a way that was getting tweeted about and getting talked about on the broadcast. It's pathetic.
I agree with every syllable.
I got people telling me all the time who go to the Steeler games. I go to one a year. I used to have season tickets. Maybe I'm part of the problem. Maybe I should never have given up my season ticket. I'm old, man. I got people telling me that you get yelled at for standing up on third downs. A pathetic showing, not just by the team, but by a lot of the people who were in Acrisure Stadium last night. And for those of you who sold your tickets, hey, you want to make a penny? I get it. Maybe check the damn zip code before you sell them to Packers fans from Wisconsin. The Steelers, by the way, including this year and the two prior years, are 11-9 at home. That's not a home field advantage. You'd be 11-9 or thereabouts playing every game at a neutral site. Pathetic, embarrassing showing by the team and by the fans.
May I interject? Is he done?
He has concluded the rant.
I mean, that was great, actually. And I agree with every syllable and half syllable and probably, Bob, even the quarter syllables. And I wonder what Steeler fans, especially if you were there, if you're a regular attendee of the games, would agree with that. That I guess like a lot of venues across sports, the vibe has changed to where it used to be, you know, regular people in there. And now it's, you better have money to be in there. And maybe has that changed the vibe in there? Or is it more about them being 11-9 in their last 20 home games and literally never winning a playoff game or even being competitive in one? 60 years, the last time they've gone this long without a playoff win. And people just wanting to make a buck off this with rising prices for tickets. All of that combines to get what we got, which was really one of the saddest nights in recent Steeler history as far as that went. And he said it was pathetic, and he put some blame on the people in the building. Bob, is that fair?
I think it all comes down to, Joe, the performance of the team. It doesn't matter what team you're talking about. Even teams that are so ferocious in following their teams, like Steeler fans do when they go out of town. But I also think if you're not playing at a level they expect, and it's been several years since they've done that based on what their standards are, then people start, you know, to have the opinion, okay, it's not going to be that good. It's a big time game. Sure, we may see something, but at the same time, it's going to lead us to a similar conclusion. Not unlike if you're a Pirate fan, you know that going in, you're not going to fill that place up. How they change that is by winning. The Steelers, if they were playing better and more on a serious, you know, Super Bowl contending list, that would be different. The Penguins are going through the same stuff right now. They haven't had a sellout. Why? Because they haven't won anything lately. And I think it all starts there. If your team does well and they're very viable in conversation about championship, people turn out. They'll pay handsomely to turn out. They'll buy merchandise. They'll do everything. But if they don't do that, then you're giving them reasons not to show up.
And even the people in the building.
Sell your tickets.
Right. But even the people in the building, Crowley laid some blame there.
It's about what you think of the team at the time.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go again. That kind of, you know, so it does
affect
your...
It's jarring to witness, I'll tell you that.
It is. And they can correct that by playing well, if they can do that.
They can, well, I would argue that they could play well for the next five games and run on a streak and people still wouldn't believe.
The winning has to come in the postseason.
Yes.
And if you go on a roll and somehow get there and go on a roll, and all of a sudden now you're creating more vibe. More people want to get things in person. They want to be there for it.
It feels like the brand is suffering some damage. And I would think if anything would move Art II to actually make a move with the head coach, it would be if that continues, that the brand is suffering. And if you watched that last night, I think you'd be hard-pressed to disagree with that.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G. More towers and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That the Steeler brand, which is still amazing on the road for sure, And I'm sure there's a very long list for season tickets. But if you watched that last night and said the brand isn't suffering, I don't know what you were watching, honestly. I agree with Crowley on all of that.
Yeah, I mean, again, it comes back to winning. And something interesting here, Nick Fairball, who's on this program quite a bit, does a very good job covering the Steelers.
Yeah.
So Mike Tomlin was asked why they ran the ball only three times in the second half. And his quote was, it wasn't necessarily a decision to do that. We were just behind the sticks. The game's circumstances got away from us. However, the Steelers were leading 16-7 at halftime. And on their first three drives of the second half, they passed the ball 11 times. They ran it just once. Mm. And they had success in the first half running the football.
And LaFleur said at halftime he expected them to come out running.
Exactly. And so did everybody else. And so they went against that. Now, it wasn't that successful. They got some penalties. They were down in distance, not in their favor.
Yeah.
Couldn't dig out from that. But at the same time, while that was going on, Green Bay couldn't be stopped. So, but they weren't necessarily, the circumstances did not dictate that you had to pass the ball. They were up by nine.
For sure. For sure. In the meantime, a damaged brand, is that fair? Were you in the building last night? 412-928-9370. Mr. P, let's hit the phones.
The lines are full. Here's Storm Tracker Dave to chime in.
Hello, guys. Another disappointing loss.
I hope your nickname isn't STD, is it?
You know what? Yes. Yeah, I've heard that. Yeah.
What is storm tracking? What is that? Why does that apply to your nickname?
I actually got a website. I've been a storm chaser for probably 25 years.
That's an intriguing thing.
And it started
you
in
can't
college.
What are you going to chase around here, though? What storms can you chase? You have to go out of the...
You know what? You can't chase any. But you know what? I do have a tornado, but listen, you got to wait for it to happen. It's kind of like the Steelers. You got to wait for it to happen. I don't know if it's going to, but anyway, there's just no motivation. I don't know if I could not motivate my team, and I keep running this word collective out to you, and it's not motivating you at all. Bob, if I can look at you before you go to tea, hey, Bob, it's going to take you a collective. You're going to look at me like I'm nuts. What do you mean, collect what? I just think there's no motivation. This coaching staff has got to be the worst I've seen. And Tom is just standing there like he doesn't have an answer. He's just looking. I can see it, and you know, him just standing there like with his hands down on his side. He doesn't have an answer, and he better get his team motivated, or he will. This will be the end of the Tomlin era. I guarantee it.
Bob, that brings up an interesting question. What do you think would move Art to fire Mike Tomlin? What would it take?
Well, I think if this trend continues, I mean, some have argued it
if they miss the playoffs this year?
Yeah, if they miss the playoffs and things don't go the way. But he did sign an extension of 3 years. So they made that decision when a lot of people thought maybe that should be put on hold or not made at all. So, it just depends on how the rest of the season goes. And even then, I'm not going to – if they get in the playoffs and win a game, I think – given what they've seen in the past 8 years, that will be something to build off of. That's how they'll look at that.
Well,
but if they don't, I think that is a fair conversation to have.
It's a fair conversation. Here's the percent chance I would put on Art Rooney making a move if the Steelers miss the playoffs, and even if they lose the rest of their games and go 4-13, zero.
So you don't think it's going to happen at
0% that he would move on Mike Tomlin.
Well,
that's
his coaching staff would have to be redone. And they talked about changes last year, and they really didn't make all that many changes. So that was a word that we heard a lot of in the offseason. Changes are coming. What changes did they really make?
They've made all the changes they can make over the years. They've changed quarterbacks. They've changed GMs.
I'm talking about coaches.
I know. They've changed coaches. They've changed coordinators. They've changed every coach. There's only one place left to look, and Art won't look there.
Well, he must believe that's the end. And listen, Mike Tomlin has had a 19 run with a lot of success in the regular season. Postseason at the beginning, their postseason has dried up, and that's ultimately what this team is about. So they have to go through that and decide what they're going to do, if anything, next. But I think before you see that happen, you said 0%, I would probably agree. It's going to have to be coaching changes on his staff. And they don't necessarily have to be hired by him, even though he does hire his own guys. There may have to be some collective agreement or disagreement on that.
To me, there's only if this continues this year, there's only one more place to look. Limits?
Here is Art. He's in Bloomfield.
Hello, Art.
Hey, good morning, guys. first time I've ever called your show, and it's corollary to some of the things that, you know, the litany of weaknesses that you've already talked about a great deal. The issue of tackling, you know, junior high school kids, the first thing they're taught is that a man runs with his legs, not with his eyes, not with his shoulders, not with his arms. And when you watch some of these players completely lose track of even the basics, you know, even if the first guy getting to the ball carrier is around the top, you know that the next guy coming has to go for the legs. You watch these ball carriers, they're all so strong, every one of them, every team, when they can carry 2, 3, 4 guys on their shoulders for another 5, 6 yards after the initial contact, it just kind of blows my mind. You know, watching this, it's viscerally uncomfortable.
How about Kraft?
I'd rather watch Alec Quippa play.
How about Kraft carrying Juan Thornhill for 35 yards, basically, on that play? On the one that went over Elliott's head, where he was injured on that play? Thornhill had a chance to make that tackle for 35 straight yards.
And he kept going and going and going until he finally tried to make a cutback, and Elliott got back there to help, and that's when the injury occurred. But you're right. He had 131 yards after catch. For a tight end, you don't see tight ends do that normally.
Except against the Steelers.
Well, they get their catches, but not yet that many yak yards. That shows you what the caller just said, that they're not tackling well at all either.
Here is Marty in Hoboken, New Jersey.
Hi, Marty.
Hoboken, New Jersey.
Talk to Bob Pompiani.
And Joe Starr.
Hey, guys. I'm dumb. You know, it's you guys were talking about getting a wide receiver, number two, and all that. That's nonsense. I mean, the offense has not been that bad. The running game has improved. It's back to Tomlin and the defense. It always comes back there. They've been terrible for years now. And they should have hired if he's going to stay, he should be forced to hire a defensive coordinator. They could have had Robert Saleh when he went back to San Fran. It's a joke. His defense is terrible, and it's bad. They have 4 or 5 guys making millions. You know, it's just the defense is awful, and it's been awful for years now. And it's time for, you know, let him just manage the team, have a defensive coordinator, have an offensive coordinator, and he can stay out of the defense. He shouldn't be involved in defense.
Brian Flores is probably the example you were looking at before he even came to Robert Saleh.
Exactly.
I mean, he was here.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
They could have figured out a role for him, even if it wasn't, you know, they could have called him assistant head coach in charge or whatever. They have titles for everybody these days.
Right. Yeah, they haven't had since LeBeau, for crying out loud. It's kind of embarrassing, like, you know, to think about it. Like, when's the last time they had a top-notch defense?
Huh. Well, you have to go back on that one. I can't even.
I mean, the last time they've had some defenses that have ranked well in some recent years, but the last time they played even an average playoff game defensively was Kansas City and Alex Smith, the guy on ESPN this morning, ripping their defense. That was the last, even they played really good that day, but since then they haven't even had an average defensive performance in the playoffs. They've all been horrendous, and now we're talking
and
about
the defense had
a
lot
decade.
To do with that in those playoff games. The offense contributed, but it was all defense. They were getting shredded by guys like Blake Bortles and, you know, people of that nature. You can't let that happen. And in this season already, 32 points allowed, 31 points allowed, 33 points allowed, 35 points
allowed.
It's
unbelievable.
It's every week. You're turning into the Cincinnati Bengals defense.
Yeah, only the Bengals and the Cowboys are worse than them overall defensively. And here's the thing that I think galls a lot of people too, Bob, is that Mike Tomlin seems loath to blame his defense first. Do you have it? The opening of his news conference limits from last night? They gave up, just for context sake, and I realize they didn't finish some drives, but they gave the highest paid defense in the NFL and one that he said could be historically good this season. They gave them a 10-point lead going into the fourth quarter, and they blew it, and they've given up almost 70 points and 1,000 yards in the last two games, almost on both counts. We all watched the game last night. They gave up 28 points in the second half, and this is how he addressed the media. Notice as first about his team.
First, congratulations to the Green Bay Packers on a victorious performance. From us, we just simply got to get a lot better in a lot of areas, in all areas, but some really specific areas that are critical to winning. We can't settle for field goals versus good people.
Boom. End. end
but
it. That's the first thing he says?
First thing, he blames the offense.
Doesn't want to blame his defense.
Never. Never
his
does.
Defense first. How about this? The first thing is our defense, which is being paid $180 million and can't stop anybody. And you talk to me, I'm being Tomlin here, or anybody else who's ever been around this franchise when it's been successful, and you give them a 10-point lead going into the fourth quarter, that game needs to be shut down. I don't care how many times our offense got stopped in the red zone or the high red zone or the low red zone. We have an unbelievable kicker. We had a 10-point lead. We can never, ever, ever, and they hadn't since what, 1985?
Right.
Blow a lead like that at home going into the fourth quarter. It's defense. That's where the blame starts.
I totally agree. But the thing about field goals, too, these are choices you make as a head coach. There was a fourth and two where you didn't have to bring out Chris Boswell. If you know that you're going to need points against this team, which they did, and I felt, there are certain times fourth and two is a let's keep the offense going, get a good play call that works, and convert and keep moving down the field. Get yourself in a red zone where Rodgers has been better than most of their quarterbacks over the last several years. Instead, they take the automatic three. Too many times they do that, but that's because you have a luxury in Boswell and you know you're going to get it, but that's not going to win games. Field goals against teams like Green Bay, against teams like the Colts, against teams like Cincinnati, they're not going to win games. You've got to score touchdowns.
Thank you, Bob, for leading us right into decisions.
Okay, but by me saying that, I'm saying it from a coach's point of view. You control who kicks and who doesn't. You can on fourth and two, you can go for it once in a while.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.